Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every...
Rams Nation, what's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Lockdown Rams. It's the Wednesday edition of Lockdown Rams. We're really excited. We typically have Jake Ellenbogen from Downtown Rams with us, but we're keeping in tradition and we've got a new guest on the show from Downtown Rams. So I want to welcome in Blaine Griescheck. How are you doing, Blaine?
Doing great. You know, Jake has been binging Game of Thrones, so that's priority number one for him right now. So, I'm excited to join the show and excited for tonight.
Yeah, I was texting him earlier and he was like, hey, you know, I'm going to have Blaine come on. And I was like, all right, cool. That's awesome. Can't wait for that conversation. He's like, we should talk though, because I got a lot of Game of Thrones stuff to get out. And then he texts me like all these Game of Thrones things. And I'm like, where are you at, man? And he's getting caught up on season 7 right now. I'm like, how are you avoiding all the spoilers? Because right now online, if you're not into Game of Thrones or if you're in Game of Thrones, they're everywhere right now. So you just have to be hidden online, which is really tough these days. But I'm caught up. We got one episode to go. So, you know, maybe that he's talking about doing a halftime show that he does and maybe jumping on there and talking a little bit. But we're glad to have you on. Guys, make sure to go give him a follow at BX Griescheck 1993. And that's Griesak for the last name. You can also find me at LA_RamblingBear. You can also find the show at Locked On Rams. And obviously, Blaine is out there covering for Downtown Rams. So at Downtown Rams and DowntownRams.com. You're putting up tons of articles. I got to say, I've been kind of following along, obviously being in touch with Jake and the Downtown Network. So great stuff coming out. And I kind of want to pick your brain a little bit. You know, obviously we've been talking to Jake so much and then we've had Alexis on the show. So we understand where they're sitting with everything. So I'd like to just kind of throw it to you and give us a feel of, you know, Super Bowl ended. That roster was the last time we saw those guys on the field. We've seen a lot of people leave. We've seen a lot of newcomers through free agency now that the draft is over. What's your overall feel of how the Rams did this offseason, you know, coming into this upcoming season?
You know, I liked what they did. You know, this is a team that they made the Super Bowl. They didn't have to make any big moves like they did last year. I mean, last year they lost in the first round disappointingly to the Falcons and at home nonetheless. So that was disappointing, and they needed to make some moves to sort of get over the top. And so they did that. And then this year, I don't think they really needed to do that. They know how good they are. They know the core they have is good enough to win. And so now it's just about getting those supporting pieces. And I feel like that's exactly what they did. Getting a guy like Eric Weddle to play next to John Johnson, big move. Signing Clay Matthews late. That's a veteran guy that, you know, can step in and fill in at an edge role that is kind of thin right now. So, you know, they didn't make any splashes per se, and maybe that's just disappointing for some fans, but they didn't really need to make that big splashy move to get where they want to be, because they're right on the cusp. And as they get more experience, as Jared Goff develops more, as he builds a connection with Brandon Cooks on the outside and Sean McVay gets more experience as a head coach in the NFL, this team's going to be very good for a while. I was very pleased with what they did.
So you mentioned Clay Matthews there. I want to give him a shout out because I think I saw it was his birthday today. So happy birthday, Clay Matthews. Another Taurus in the house. I just had my birthday over the weekend and flew out to Chicago. This is actually the first podcast of the week. So thank you guys for jumping in and joining us here. Just got back into town late last night from Chicago. Sat in the tarmac for about an hour and a half, landed, and then waited for an Uber for about 30 minutes. Got home at like 1 o'clock last night. Finally getting caught up, getting back on the mic to talk with everyone out here in the Lockdown Podcast land. Don't forget, you can find our podcast on the new streaming app Himalaya. If you haven't checked it out, download it. Check out all the shows on the Lockdown Podcast Network. We got a new Lockdown Dodgers. It's really awesome. Obviously, the Lakers, they just released the draft lottery. The Lakers got the number 4 pick. So check in to Anthony over at Lockdown Lakers, hear what they got to say about where they landed with that and who they're potentially going to go after. So lots of stuff here on Lockdown Podcast Network. Go check it out. You can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts. But getting back to Clay Matthews, you talked about, you know, edge seemed to be a big concern for us Obviously, re-signing Dante Fowler gave him a ton of money for a one-year deal, almost like a franchise deal without having to do the franchise deal. So we're giving him the big money, trying to get him to see if, you know, he's worth going long-term there. And, you know, addition of Clay Matthews, what would you consider a success as far as Clay goes this year? And maybe let's just look at a sack number. Like, where do you see him being like, if you looked at numbers at the end of the season, you'd be like, man, that's exactly what we needed out of him. What do you think he can do production wise?
Yeah, it's interesting because Clay Matthews, he's definitely out of his prime. He's not the Clay Matthews of old, that's for sure. I think, that's tough.
I know. I'll put you in a corner, man. Got to come out swinging at me.
I think if you can get 5 sacks out of him, I think that's a success. I mean, last year he only had 3.5. Year before that, he has 7.5. So I think if you can get somewhere in between at around 5, that beats what they got out of the position last year, out of Samson Ebukam and even Fowler late. They didn't have a lot of production there on the outside at edge. And so I think if Clay Matthews can at least, if he can get you 5 sacks, but make offenses respect him enough to open up things inside for, you know, the Aaron Donalds and Michael Brockers up front, I think that would be a success for the Clay Matthews signing.
Yeah, I definitely think a lot of what he does well, and if he can continue to get back to it, is just being a disruptor. And like you said, forcing a quarterback out of the pocket, even if it doesn't go down in his stat category, but just kind of being somebody back in his day was just like, I need to know where this guy is. And obviously we've got plenty of those guys with Aaron Donald, especially being up front. So to kind of also keep a quarterback understanding that there's also a guy coming from the outside, and he does so great with just moving all around. He starts outside, he'll get pushed to the ground, and next thing you know, he's coming up the middle and making a play. So if we can just get back to where he had that high motor and being impact even when it's not in the stat category. But I'm a little bit higher from where you're at, but I'm not too far off. I think a 6-8 sack mark for me would be just ecstatic for the price we got. You talked about the late signing and free agency, and you know, all the big guys start going out day one and two and these massive contracts, and the Rams just didn't have that money. So they sat back and they waited for a couple key veterans, you know, Eric Weddle, obviously, and Clay Matthews. So really excited to see what they can do. But we will need some production, because you mentioned coming off that edge, we didn't get a lot, and it was all on Aaron Donald. And we can't expect, you know, 20.5 sacks. I mean, we'd like to see it again and him put another MVP year. But obviously, I think we can expect double-digit sacks from the guy. But, you know, getting up to 20 again would be amazing in back-to-back seasons. And obviously, he's working hard in the offseason to do that again. But we'll see how that kind of goes. But what I want to do is look at the time here. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We're going to be back on the other side. Locked On Rams Wednesday. Baron Blaine right after this. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. We've got Blaine from Downtown Rams. If you haven't checked out any of the pieces he's done, head to downtownrams.com. Check him out. I want to talk to you about that rookie class. We touched on it earlier in the first segment and kind of the additions. We focused a little bit in the free agency. So I want to talk about that rookie class. You know, Jake originally had about a C grade, and then after he went back, watched some tape, it kind of bumped up to a B and a half. Are you B minus? Are you kind of on that trend, or do you think the Rams did a little bit better from talking to Jake? How do you feel about the draft class, and who stands out to you?
Yeah, so I think I'm with Jake on this. I started out very down on it. Don't get me wrong, like I love Taylor Rapp. I did like Rapp more than Jake did. I think he's going to be a great signing or a great selection. Sorry. And then I was absolutely ecstatic when they signed drafted Darrell Henderson. I've been on Darrell Henderson as my running back one since February. Loved him better than Josh Jacobs. In fact, like honestly, I would have drafted Darrell Henderson in the first round and Josh Jacobs in the third. I absolutely love what this guy can bring to the table. He's very Jamal Charles-esque, can bring what Alvin Kamara can bring. And I think he's going to bring another dimension to this Rams offense and give Sean McVay another weapon to utilize. And then after that, you know, this goes back to, you know, what I was saying earlier with free agency. The Rams aren't looking for that splashy move. They aren't looking for they don't need a guy to come in and start right away. They have those guys. They have Marcus Peters and Aqib Tlaib on the outside. They have Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. They have their core is set. They don't need guys to come in and play an immediate role like they needed to back in, you know, the Jeff Fisher days, the Steve Spagnuolo days. They don't need those guys. So, I mean, last year they draft guys like Noteboom that can sit behind and develop for a year, and he'll be ready to go this year. And they kind of stuck to that theme this year, and I love that. A lot of rookies are expected to start from day one, and if you can give them the luxury of learning from the coaches and learning from a guy like Marcus Peters or Aqib Tlaib, I think that's very beneficial. And with David Long, you get a guy that's probably going to be the fourth cornerback on the roster, but when Aqib Tlaib leaves, most likely after this season, you have a guy like David Long that can potentially step into that second cornerback role next year. Bobby Evans and David Edwards, same thing. You have Andrew Whitworth that might retire after this year. Those are two guys that can potentially step in and maybe be the left tackle of the future, maybe not. But you have these guys that can develop and at the very least give your team depth. And deep teams win the Super Bowl. Greg Gaines, he might be, honestly, outside of Henderson, the only rookie that gets a major playing time as a rookie. The Rams are definitely, I think, moving to a more traditional 3-4, and he's a space eater on the inside. He will eat up double teams for Aaron Donald and open things up there. And then that's fantastic news for Rams fans. And then, I mean, you get special teams guys in Nick Scott and Dakota Allen late, and really – in the seventh round, that's all you can really expect. So I honestly, like, I'd probably go I think a B grade is fair. I think they overdrafted some guys and probably could have. I liked Amani Arouye from Penn State. I would have liked if they would have taken him instead of David Long. But we'll see. We don't know what these players are going to be. And if Long ends up being very good, then who am I to say they made the wrong decision?
Yeah, and you always go back to, you know, just liking the guy that you get. You could tell that Les Snead, Sean McVay, and all of their position coach seemed really excited coming out of this draft that guys that they wanted, they were able to trade back or trade up to go get them. Obviously, a guy like Henderson and even talk about Long, just seeing how excited Aubrey Pleasant was to get him and add him to the room post-draft. It was just like he was lighting up thinking that, you know, they got this great steal in the draft and they got it while moving backwards. And it was just kind of fun to see them get so excited. And you kind of hope that at this point you can trust the process of what they're doing. You talked about how they rebuild it after that playoff loss to Atlanta. And then, you know, obviously getting the Super Bowl last year, that they don't need to do too much crazy stuff. They just need to add and fill in some pieces. They got some really great special teamers that can come in and play right away in that direction too. And you talked a little bit, you know, about Greg Gaines and Henderson kind of being two of the guys that you probably could see most of this coming year. If you're talking snap count and, you know, at the end of the year of this year after week 17 and you collect who's got the most snap counts coming into the season, who do you think out of those rookie class do you really think it's going to be as far as seeing the most time on the field?
I think it's Greg Gaines just because the opportunity is there. The Rams, they didn't re-sign Ndamukong Suh. And so Greg Gaines is going to come in and play that prototypical 3-4 nose tackle right away. They don't have anybody else that can do it. And so I see Greg Gaines being a major contributor on defense right away. I mean, Henderson is going to split time with Gurley, obviously. I as much as fans and media are making a big deal out of Gurley's knee, I don't see him losing a lot of snaps. So he'll lose some, but it won't be significant. So I to answer your question, is I see Greg Gaines contributing the most.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I really almost want it to be Henderson just because of how explosive I can envision the offense being with him. Obviously, the rookies just got into camp the other day and seeing them run around and just seeing them get their jersey numbers is starting to make it even more and more real, getting them out with the guys. And can't wait to see the full guy, you know, the full crew come out for camp and get together and start battling. We'll talk about that a little bit later as far as looking at, you know, looking ahead to the depth chart and how that's going to shake out. But we added a bunch of undrafted rookie free agents, and I think it ended up like 18, 19 of them. Out of that group, is there anybody that jumps out at you to be like, this guy's got a really good shot to make the team, or, you know, this guy could fit in, find a role on special teams and sneak into that roster on opening day? Any of those guys jumping out at you?
Yeah. So, right away, I really like Keenan Brown out of Texas State. I mean, you have guys like Everett and Higbee at the tight end position, but really that's it. And honestly, Everett hasn't he's had his moments. I mean, you look at the Kansas City game last year, his catch that really sealed the game and won the game for the Rams. He has moments, but he needs to be more consistent. And then Higbee, he's a solid number two, but he's not a guy, he's not a difference maker. And Keenan Brown is, he's a tweener. He's a wide receiver, tight end, versatile guy that can really play anywhere you want, anywhere you want him to, really. He's explosive after the catch. I think he'll make the roster as a depth tight end guy. I like Boogie Roberts on the defensive line. I think he's going to come in. I don't know if he'll contribute right away, but he'll definitely come in and maybe come in on and be a rotational pass rusher on the defensive line. Alex Backman out of Wake Forest. The Rams have kind of lacked that returner. They had their issues 2 years ago, and they haven't really found their guy, I don't think. And Backman is the guy that can come in and you know, he can play special teams. He can be the return guy if you need him to. And yeah, I do like what he brings. I work at Penn, so I'm maybe a little Ivy League bias here, right. But Matt Caskey out of Dartmouth, I do like him. He's a 3-time captain. Started every game at left tackle for Dartmouth, and their offense was phenomenal at the FCS level. So those are some guys that I have my eye on. But yeah, for the most part, I loved Keenan Brown. He was one of my higher rated tight ends on my draft board, and for the Rams to get him as an undrafted free agent made me ecstatic.
Yeah, and you talk about that tight end group, and even, you know, the return specialist and JoJo Natson filled into that role, and at times looked to really shine and seemed to really take that and run, and then there were times where it kind of brought us back to those struggle days of like, all right, maybe we start looking somewhere else. So I mean, it's his job to lose, and we'll see what camp, you know, shows and who else can come in and show out at camp. But interested to see how that kind of goes and if JoJo gets that full-time job, not only in punt return.
Even outside of that, like, you look at a guy like Mike Thomas that's on this roster, and he really the one thing Mike Thomas, I think, is most known for is dropping a sure touchdown pass from Jared Goff in Seattle's rookie year. He's had his opportunities. I think there's a lot of opportunity for these undrafted free agent wide receivers to come in and take that spot from Mike Thomas.
Yeah, Mike Thomas has had his fair share of opportunities to make this team. And whether it's the suspension or just, you know, lack of performance or dropping balls, never seemed to really find a groove or find a comfortable fit here. They've always supported him too. They've always said they really like him and they're going to continue to give him opportunity. But you're right, this may be that last year of those opportunities for him and finding another guy to kind of replace there, especially when, you know, you talked about the core of it really being locked in at the wide receiver position. We're not really looking for guys to come in and step in at number two or number three. That's really kind of settled right now. And then with adding Henderson, obviously the playmakers are just kind of getting deeper in that position. The other thing I want to ask you before we get out of here into the next segment is, do you see Tyler Higbee on this team in a couple years? Or do you think this is nearing the end of Tyler Higbee in a Rams uniform?
That is very tough because I love Tyler Higbee. That's very difficult. I want to say no. I don't know if they. It depends on where they are at the tight end position, because really they're very thin there. So if there's a need for him, I could see them re-signing him. But if they draft a guy or sign a guy in free agency or a guy like Keenan Brown steps up, he's not going to ask for big money. He's not going to get big money in free agency, so he'd be a low money signing. But if you can get somebody like Keenan Brown to come in and take that number two role, I don't know if Tyler Higbee's on this roster in 3 years.
Yeah, it's something I'm going to be talking about a lot this season and throughout the season, because I think this is a big time year for him, obviously coming in to that fifth year option. And like you said, he's going to probably not be a guy that breaks the bank. But again, when you're giving money out, big time money to Jared Goff, you got to be really smart about how you do all your contracts. So with guys like Brown, and I think they had three total tight ends in the undrafted class. So they're really looking at that position to kind of, you know, as an open door, as, you know, full competition. So it's a big year for him, and we'll have to keep an eye on what he does throughout the year to see if this is something that they're going to do long-term with him. But what we're going to do is we're going to step aside, and when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about some of the other roster spots, depth chart stuff, and kind of taking a look at how this Rams team's coming together for next season. So we'll be right back. Locked On Rams Wednesday. Blaine and Bear coming up right after this. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Third and final segment. We have got Blaine from Downtown Rams with us. First time guest. I appreciate you coming on and joining, talking some football. I think I hit you up about 10 minutes before we started recording and was like, I just got back in the house. I was sitting in traffic in LA. So we plugged in and we are just kind of going with the flow here, talking a little Rams football. Obviously, rookies coming into camp now. Things are getting closer and closer to training camp, into getting ready to the season. So we're really excited as we see these guys getting in there, getting their horns for the first time. I saw you put up an article earlier this month, kind of projected depth chart and a little bit more into the roster. Did you have any surprises? Are there anything coming into camp where you think there's a couple positions up for a battle? Or do you think at this point it's pretty much, you know, locked and loaded? Or are there any really shockers you see that we could, you know, see when training camp comes?
Yeah, I mean, with this team coming off of a Super Bowl win, or not Super Bowl win, Super Bowl appearance, sorry.
Oh, that would have been nice, right?
Yeah, it probably would have been really nice.
It feels good to say. It feels good to hear, but it's just not true.
But yeah, coming off of a Super Bowl, I think a lot of these positions are pretty set. I mean, that doesn't mean they're all set, though. There's going to be camp battles, for sure. I mean, every camp has camp battles. I think it starts up front. I mean, you lose a guy like Roger Saffold, who has been a staple on the offensive line since he got in what was St. Louis, and then when the team moved to LA, he has been a staple, and he has been a constant on the Rams offensive line, and to see him go wasn't easy. But you have guys like Joe Noteboom, Austin Blythe, that can maybe step in there and take that spot, and even these undrafted guys like Kasky out of Dartmouth, a position like guard, I think, is kind of set. I think you expect Noteboom to slide in there, but I don't think it's a given either. I think if you get a guy that comes in and dominates up front and wins those battles in the trenches, they're going to get that opportunity. Then I think you look at inside linebacker, you lose Mark Barron. And right now the expectation is Micah Kizer, a guy who hasn't started a game in the NFL and right. had very, very minimal impact as a rookie. He didn't play much on defense at all last year, if at all. He mostly put on special teams, and he's expected to come in and start from day one. I think unfair expectations, and it'll be interesting if, you know, a guy that an undrafted free agent that they signed comes in and takes over that role.
Yeah, my question for you there is, because you talked about Micah Kizer, and I feel like throughout, you know, the next couple of weeks, we're going to have to go a little bit deeper into kind of, you know, looking at him as a starter. If it's not Kizer, I mean, who fills in that role?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. I'm just looking at their undrafted free agents again, and Natris Patrick out of Georgia. He's not only, I think, a good player, but he also has a good story. Was suspended twice at Georgia with drug related issues, but he came back after rehab and he's been solid ever since. And I think that's a major reason why he went undrafted. Obviously, he's a little undersized, but he brings that physicality that the Rams really don't have right now at inside linebacker. I think Troy Reader out of Delaware, another guy. He's smart. He's gonna bring he's gonna bring those intangibles into camp that's at least nice to have in camp and in the locker room. Those are just two guys that are popping out right away that I think could come in and compete for that spot. But it's gonna be Kizer's spot to lose. But yeah, you know, that's going to be a position definitely to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I know one of the big takes that Jake has is, you know, sliding Ibukam in from the outside linebacker and bringing him in. Cause you look at, you know, for a team that said they don't have a lot of edge pressure and their outside linebacker is kind of an issue. You know, you got Fowler that re-signed. You got Clay Matthews with the signings. You got Oboe, who we haven't even seen yet, that we've got some really excitement again. And then obviously Ibukam. So, that, I mean, that there is some depth there. We're not sure if the depth is awesome or if even the front end of that is awesome. And we'll have to see how that kind of plays out. But, you know, as that position kinds to stack up, you know, it might be something to look at for the Rams to, you know, they talk about versatility in their O-line and how those guys are interchangeable and they like guys that can play four positions on that O-line. And you hope maybe that's something that they can transfer into that linebacking group is, you know, something that they can rotate those guys around and find a good fit for somebody. Cause right, it's a lot of pressure for Micah Kizer to come in and go from a guy that barely got any playing time last year and did some special teams work to kind of like, hey, we're throwing you in there. But that also was the case for Corey Littleton kind of coming into the year. I mean, very kind of, you know, looking at his snap count from the year before and then coming into this year and how well he embraced that role and kind of took off running with that while still performing in special teams. So, I mean, it's not impossible at the end of the day, but at the same time, I guess there is some challenges there. Going back to that offense line, any of these rookies do you think has a shot, like a small outside shot to crack the starting lineup? And if so, who do you think it would be?
I don't think so. I think the Rams starting offensive line is pretty much that. I don't see a guy like Noteboom losing out. I see Blythe stepping in at center. I don't see one of these guys coming in, one of these undrafted free agents or the guys that they drafted coming in and winning those battles. I see them being depth guys. I do like Kasky, but I don't see him coming in and starting right away. I like Chandler Brewer out of Middle Tennessee, you know, on the inside, but I don't see him coming in and starting right away. So the Rams, they prepared, they had to have a feeling they were going to lose Saffold. They had to have at least sort of kind of expected Whitworth to retire at the end of last year, and he didn't. So right. That had to be a pleasant surprise that he came back. So they are prepared in the sense that they have guys that can step in, like a guy like Noteboom. So I don't see any of these rookies coming in and starting from day one. I think the guys that you drafted last year and brought in last year, those are going to be the guys that you're going to see stepping in.
Yeah, and that sounds, you know, that makes more sense, you know, as far as how they've drafted. And hopefully, you know, you're looking at Whitworth. You know, I think where it's fair to say that he hasn't really written it in as his final season, but we're all under the expectation that this is the end of his contract. Maybe, you know, the Rams either get all the way and if they win a Super Bowl, he can, you know, ride off with a perfect ending, or they get close again and he feels that this team is a couple plays away from making a run and wants to come back and signs a 1-year deal. But they're really looking to add some depth there. So if he does move on, then they've got some guys they can throw in the mix and also probably draft a couple more guys next year. So again, you know, having that opportunity, having multiple guys to find the right fit on the line. The last question I got before we get out of here, again, kind of a, you know, take your pick as far as how this goes. Obviously, a lot of talk about Todd Gurley and what's happening there and drafting and trading up to go get a running back. Do you see Henderson sliding into that 2 spot, or is that, you think that goes to Malcolm Brown still? Is it his job to lose, and do you think he will lose it? How do you see that playing out?
I think it's going to be very committee-like. I think you're going to see a dimension of the Rams' offense that you haven't seen before. I think that number 2 spot is going to be shared between Brown and Henderson, depending on what the Rams are wanting to run, because clearly the Rams wouldn't have brought Brown back if they didn't value him. When he went down last year with the collarbone, they struggled at the running back position. Kelly obviously wasn't doing it for him, and the same with Justin Davis. And that's a big reason why they brought in C.J. Anderson. But they bring Brown back. He's a really good backup running back. He's a great guy to have behind Todd Gurley. But you have this guy Henderson that can come in and literally do everything. So I don't think Brown snaps go away. I do think he still comes in on third down or comes in on first and second down to give Todd Gurley a breather. But I do think that you might see some two back sets that you haven't seen with the Rams with Sean McVay yet. You might see Henderson line up out wide and have Gurley or Brown in the backfield. The running back position is very intriguing because I really don't know what we're going to get. We haven't had two running backs like this in a long time, and giving Sean McVay two running backs of this caliber in Henderson and Gurley could be scary. And I think it just depends on the package that Sean McVay calls. If it's a passing play, you might see Henderson out there running a wheel route, or if it's more of a running situation, you're going to see Brown in there. Or I mean, Todd Gurley obviously still brings that dual threat presence that scares defenses. So I think it's going to be Todd Gurley is obviously the number one, but I think the number two is going to be very committee-like.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to see what Sean McVay can do with all these guys. You know, you talked about that committee style of running backs, and he's been this big-time, almost 90-plus percent 11 personnel. But he's a student of the game. He likes picking from, around what he sees in college and other NFL teams. He's not afraid to implement something and start to create different styles within that 11 personnel, but maybe we'll see a little bit more, a little bit outside of that this coming year with the personnel that he has. So I'm excited to see what he does with these three running backs, as you mentioned, and how it goes. And so are you a fantasy football guy?
I am.
Okay, so we'll leave on this question. How far does Todd Gurley drop in the rankings? Where do you see him going? Where do you think a safe projection for him coming off the board in a fantasy football world would be?
I mean, Todd Gurley's too talented to drop too far. I think if he's there at the bottom of the first round, early second round, that would make somebody very happy.
Yeah.
I think that's his floor. I still think he's if you're not taking him in the top five, I don't know what you're doing. But if he's there in the bottom first, early second, then I would be very, 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 very happy.
Yeah, I feel like I play fantasy football with a lot of guys out in the Midwest, and obviously watching the Super Bowl and catching, the drift of all the issues with Todd Gurley. I already have some people, texting me and kind of saying, man, Gurley's going to be dropping. And now I'm thinking, man, I want that, that end of the round where you snake back and you get two picks in a row, whether that's, pick number 12 and 13 or, 10 and 11, depending on what your leagues are. But I think I want to be on that end right now. Obviously tons of talent in the running back position near the top, but if he's going to fall, I would love to pick him up and another solid guy and send it back up the draft. But I thought that was interesting, and we'll have some of our locked on fantasy football guys on, and we'll talk about that as we get closer to that. But fantasy football always in play. I always like to talk about it here on the show. But Blaine, thank you so much for coming on. Make sure to go give him a follow on Twitter, BX Grishak. It's G-R-I-S-A-K 1993. You can follow him also at Downtown Rams, downtownrams.com. Always putting up awesome articles. We appreciate it. We look forward to having you back on the show again. And thanks for coming on, my man.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And I look forward to next time.
Awesome. Well, Rams Nation, you know what it is. Until next time. Peace.